It's Wrecking Ball Radio. This is Stavin's Den.
All right, we are back. Thank you for joining Joe, Pip, and myself on Davin's Den. Let's start with something light, kids. Little Nazi news. Little Nazi news for the kids. Although, I must say, one of our favorite Republican congresswomen is making her own little Nazi news these days, isn't she? The pride of the GOP, Marjorie Taylor Greene. Joe, you hear what she did?
No, what did she do?
Pip, you hear what she did?
No.
All right, let me play this theme, and then I will tell you after the theme.
At the end of the conversation, you forgot to say hi, Hitler.
All right, very quickly, because this is not our main story. So, apparently, Nancy Pelosi said that if you don't have proof of vaccination or testing negative, you have to wear a mask when you're on the floor of the House. Okay, makes sense. Got a bunch of old people running around there. Makes sense. So, Marjorie Taylor Greene compared this, saying, you know, there was a time in history when Jews had to wear gold stars and were second-class citizens, and this is just like that. She compared wearing a mask on the floor of the House to Jews in Nazi Germany. Oh, Marjorie.
Here's something you may not know about Marjorie Taylor Greene. She's nuts.
We agree. We agree, my friend. I know that is not something we will argue about.
The derelict said in front of Penn Station today.
But here's the interesting thing.
The derelict in front of Penn Station.
She got blowback from Liz Cheney and Adam Kindler and a couple of the others you would suggest. And then she doubled down on it. And then 5 days later, the Republican leader of the House, the minority leader, McCarthy, and second Scalise, got around to saying, oh, she shouldn't have done that. Are they so afraid of this ditzy bitch? What the fuck is wrong with them? And by the way, I don't want to get into a whole Marjorie Taylor Greene. You know who she's torn with? Matt the pedophile Gaetz. These two are barnstorming the nation. If this is the best the GOP has, old Yeller that fucking party now.
but you want to know something? Sarah Palin is out there going, at least I'm out of the fucking barrel.
Sarah Palin!
Like, oh, phew!
You look at Sarah Palin and go, what were we so upset about? No, wait, she don't seem so bad. When you compare to these two, I mean, Jesus Christ, wearing a mask so you don't get yourself and other people sick is like being herded into cattle cars and gassed. They have to get rid of... She's already been stripped of all her committee things. I know she's a Trumper and everything. They got to get rid of this ditzy bitch because you know what? You're not going to raise money. She'll raise money for herself, but I'm telling you one thing right now. The Democrats are going to raise a shitload of money off of her. They're going to go, you want the party that takes 5 days to condemn Nazis? You want that party? Or you could vote for us. It's like it took them forever to get rid of that Stephen King guy. Remember Stephen King? But he was like in Iowa, and he was always saying like anti-Semitic and racist shit, and it took the GOP forever to get rid of him until they finally stripped him of his committees, and then he lost or didn't run again. But they're afraid of her supporters, the retarded Trumpsters. Yeah, I said the word retarded. Fuck you, because if you're supporting Marjorie Taylor Greene, I don't mean the people that have an excuse for being medically retarded, that's fine. I mean the people that are do-to-do. I mean, really, if you're supporting this ditzy bitch, there's nothing I can do for you. I mean, really? Masks are just like wearing gold stars and being gassed to death? Yeah, and the thing is, there's people in the GOP that go, well, this has to be a good move. We're not going to come out against her. It took them 5 years, five days to go, no, she's wrong. I mean, at what point do you go, it's not worth it? We can't win with this shit. You're not going to win with this shit because most of the people want nothing to do with that, even if they like Trump. Even if they like his policies.
No, because she's fucking nuts.
Right, I actually saw somebody on, I think it was on MSNBC, it might have been on CNN, go, they were actually surprised that Trump didn't come out against her, because Trump likes her a lot, because the one thing that Trump has always been, you know, in his political career, has been pro-Israel. So they were kind of surprised that Trump didn't come out against her. I was not surprised. Trump was like, well, because the way I look at Trump is, hey, if you like me, I don't give a shit what you do. It's not like he's coming out against Matt the alleged pedophile Gates yet. You know, Trump's like, hey, if you like me, you can't be so bad. I don't know these bad things. But anyway, this is not that story. But I just thought, it's like, wow. Listen, she's crazy. She's stupid. You know, listen, here's the great thing about running for, about paying attention to politics. And maybe it's the bad thing. Because growing up, you thought somebody from Congress, somebody for Senate, these are great people. The best of the best. No, they're some of the worst people we have. We are electing some of the worst Americans possible to office. And they are...
Well, between her and everybody else, on both sides of the aisle, there's something that they have to be worrying about, and that's inflation. Because in the plumbing industry, there's price... We were talking about it today. Everybody's been having price changes and everything is going up. And we just worry. I mean, the economists say, hopefully it's a correction coming out of the pandemic. But he goes, if this is going to continue, we're going to have a problem with inflation.
Joe, sweet, you know? sweet Joe, precious conservative Joe. You're talking about valid policy critiques. Nay, the Republican Party would rather talk about Dr. Seuss and Mr. Potato Head. They don't have time for valid policy critiques where they could actually make some hay with the American people and offer an alternative. They're not interested in that. What's Dr. Seuss up to?
On the Democrat side, just show that it's a concern. Somebody in Washington show that it's a concern.
I think you would hear what Biden would say is, we didn't go hard enough after on Obama's recovery, which is why it was quote unquote the slowest recovery, and that's what the economists said. We should have thrown more at it. So maybe they're overstimulating. You know, we've heard about inflation, and I'm not saying your concern is not valid, but I will say we've heard about these concerns about inflation for years. And it hasn't really come to fruition. But yeah, if this keeps up, you're absolutely right.
At least in the trade, I'm seeing it in fruition. I mean, my main line had a price increase twice. Usually go up for 2 years. Everybody's talking about how this is going up again, that's going up again, this is going up again. So I was listening to them discuss it, and with a couple of economists, and economists are saying, well, look, there's a couple of things that are factors that are coming out, and he goes if it's a correction or two corrections, all right, it is what it is. But he goes, if it's going to keep going like that, it's going to be a problem. So I would like to hear something out of Washington.
Well, Joe,
saying we are aware of this and we're keeping our eye on it.
Our
own agenda with other stuff.
You and I have just illustrated two very important things. I have illustrated how batshit the current Republican Party is, and you have illustrated why. Wouldn't it be nice if we actually had a sane Republican Party that would make these arguments so we could get some solutions and the American people had a choice?
At least a Democratic Party that would be acknowledging.
First of all, they've held Biden more to the fire than I expected.
I'm throwing everybody.
But Joe, the stereotype was the liberals like to spend and the conservatives don't want to spend. But we don't, that's why you need two healthy parties. We don't have two healthy parties. So, and by the way, Trump spent like a drunken sailor too, so did W. They all spend. They all spend when they get into power. But your concern is a valid concern, and it would be nice if we had a real conservative party. We don't.
Well, here's the thing, is that we're all laboring under the assumption that our representatives are actually representative of us, and they're not.
Well, I think where Marjorie Taylor Greene goes, we all go. That's what I
thought. She's the part of an offshoot of, well, now she's sounding like she's an offshoot of the Nazi party, the Nutsy party.
Yeah.
Because, well, yeah. You know, she's incorporating the worst of the Nazis with the most insane ideas.
But here's the thing. She's raising money on this shit. There is a constituency in the United States, which is really what the concern should be. And no, it should not be the concern that Marjorie Taylor Greene is a dingbat. It should be a concern that so many people agree with her. That is the concern.
Well, you know, and like I said, with Marjorie Taylor Greene, like I said, she's nuts. Now, I don't like AOC. You know, we're not going to get into it. However, I don't agree with her policies. I don't think she's nuts.
Sure, listen.
Taylor Greene is nuts.
Not agreeing with someone's policy is completely valid. That is all of our rights.
Didn't I say, you know, all the things I do not like about AOC, nuts isn't in the package, you know?
No. Listen, nuts isn't in the package. Well, I don't know. She was a good-looking woman. Nuts might have been in the package. I don't know. But
oh,
no.
Yeah, I mean, all my critique about her, that she's not crazy.
Listen, what? And I don't want to get into a whole political thing, but the fringes of both parties have always been there. You've always had the lunatic fringe on the left, and you've always had the lunatic fringe on the right. Unfortunately, now the lunatic fringe controls the right. So, and that's not good for anybody. And if you hear most Democrats, they'll tell you, no, we need a conservative party just to make the case that Joe just made. Whether you agree with it or not, whether you come down and go, no, we're doing the right thing, or, you know what, he's got a point, maybe we got to pull back, maybe we have to adjust. We used to be able to have those conversations. We can't have that conversation now because somebody...
I would like somebody on either side of the aisle to come out and go, yeah, we're damn concerned about the rising prices of everything, and we're trying to make sure that the inflation doesn't take over coming out of the recovery from the pandemic. I haven't heard from either side. So that concerns me that they're just running around worried about nonsense and stuff that, you know, if you're in business, you could see is becoming a problem. And you listen to the economists and go, look, if this isn't just a one- or two-time correction, we might have a problem with inflation. So, you know, I just like somebody to say that. Or, you know, that Washington is aware of that. I'm not hearing it.
It would be nice if we had reasonable people worrying about our actual concern.
No, Joe, you can't have that. You have to do the fourth recount of Arizona, the fourth recount of Georgia. You have to look for bamboo and ballots. You can't have a party that's actually worried about the concerns.
But you're only bringing the conservative party. The Democrat Party is
because the Democrats are the ones that are the liberals that like to spend. That's what they do.
But still, there is much to blame as the other one.
Well, listen, if it goes tits up,
any party saying we're really concerned about this.
Well, first of all, it's new. It's new. We'll see what happens as the economists say.
Yeah, and maybe I'm seeing it, and I'm not being facetious. You guys are seeing it or not, because I'm dealing with price changes, and we've been dealing with price changes every week, and we're seeing and we're starting to see it to be the
well, part of it is also the supply chain. COVID-19 knocked a lot of shit, so we got to see how we get through this. We'll see what happens
with the supply, and I'm not saying I'm sorry being facetious, but with the supply chain, a lot of manufacturers were holding back on price increases due to the supply chain, that they couldn't get their product up. Now that they're starting to catch up again, it's looked like they're making up ground. So it's one thing affects the other, infects the other. And I would just like to hear somebody in Washington just allude on either side of the aisle. Hell, even AOC, I give her a break. If somebody would just allude to that, you know, we're watching it, and yeah, it's a damn concern, and we, you know.
No, yeah. I think you'll see the Fed do something. If the economy gets overheated, they'll raise interest rates. They'll try to cool it down. We'll see. It's brand new. The inflation, we'll see what happens. We got to give it a little bit of time.
Even the Fed sheet just mentioned, a casual mention.
No, I think the Fed has talked about it. The Fed has right. talked about it. They're gonna let it go for a little bit. But, you know, I think Biden's watching it too.
Yeah, and I would agree with that, because basically we're just saying, is it a correction after the pandemic, or is it something we have to look at? As long as the Fed, you know, the Fed is looking at it.
Listen, if nobody can afford a loaf of bread, it doesn't work out for the Democrats at all. So, I mean, listen, it's something everybody should pay attention to. But again, it would be nice if we had people talking about it. But instead, we have to worry about Dr. Seuss. What do you want me to tell you, Joe? you know.
Where's Mr. Potato Head's nuts? Where are they?
You got a party that's trying to fight.
Yeah.
You got a party that's trying to fight a culture war, and that is also trying to prop up a guy that lost by 8 million votes. I don't. It would be nice to see the Republicans come up with some new leadership, some new ideas, maybe echoing some of Joe's concerns. That would be nice to do, but that takes courage. That takes a brain, and that apparently the people with courage and a brain, not that I agree with her, like Liz Cheney, are persona non grata. And again, I don't agree with her politics at all, but you can't say she's a coward or a stupid lady. You can't say that about her.
I can't, and I don't agree with her policies and stuff like that. Like I said, I'm not saying that she's stupid. I think she has her reasons the way she stood out to have, to the impeachment, but she's not crazy. Marjorie Taylor Greene is nuts.
Yes. Well, listen. How could she be nuts if she's touring around with Matt Gaetz? Clearly, she makes sound decisions.
I really am. It's just, you have to step outside of yourself and go, this is amazing that this is a person that is in Congress or is representing people in the United States. How did this happen?
Because we get the government we deserve. We get the government we deserve. There was a perfectly sane, religious, Republican, white male running against this daffy bitch. She slaughtered him. What do you want me to tell you? It wasn't a lib running against her. They had a perfectly stereotypical conservative white male. He might have been a preacher or something, and she beat his ass. The Republican Party is batshit crazy, and they're loving every minute of it. But let's move on.
I want someone to hug me and tell me it's going to be okay.
It's not.
Someday.
It's not.
You know what, Pip? That's essentially what the gist of what I was saying before was. At least I just want a little hug and say, we're
you know what? You know what? But you guys say that,
that the adults are in charge.
You say that, but then again, if Joe Biden saddles up behind you, gives you a little shoulder rub, maybe sniffs a little hair, you turn on him. So nobody's hugging you now. You can't hug now. No hugging.
You know what? If he whispered in my ear that we're concerned about the price increases and we're working with the Fed, I'd be fine. I'll leave them here.
I'll tell you what, Joe. Not only would I be fine with that, I'd be there with a camera and a meme creator. So let's hope that happens.
I would be, thanks, Daddy. I want the adults to be in charge again.
They are.
If I leave something about policy and what they're doing with the Fed, make all the memes you want.
Listen, things are running okay. There are problems. Things are running better now. And if in a year from now, like I said, nobody can afford anything. Yeah, there's a fucking problem. And the Democrats are going to get their asses kicked in the next election. And they don't want that. So
hopefully they'll get their shit together by because they know the midterms are literally right around.
Listen, the person around the corner. I think the guy who's the chief of the Fed was a holdover from Trump. I think he's he's widely respected, and I think the woman that they put in charge of the Treasury is widely respected. So we have it.
I believe she is. I think she has very good credentials.
Yeah,
she's very well respected.
We have adults in control. It's gonna be okay. And if we're talking here in a year, we're gonna go, what the fuck are they doing? But we'll give them some time. All right, let's move on to transgender neo Nazis. Shan't we have some fun?
Why not?
Oh God.
A federal judge declined to impose prison time Wednesday on a former member of a neo-Nazi ring that threatened journalists, finding that the 21-year-old who concealed his transgender identity from his co-conspirators had already suffered enough in his young life. Taylor Park DePepe of Spring Hill, Florida. Oh, Florida. Always make your way into every week. Was charged in early 2020 along with three members of the Ontumwaffen Division, a white supremacist group. Investigators said they left.
You never know by the name.
I thought they made waffles. I thought it was Adam Waffen Waffles Division, but I apparently was mistaken, as I often am.
Waffles are delicious. These people are not.
Waffles, well, okay. Listen. I don't know what to tell you, Pip. I'm sure they're quite scrumptious, too, in their own right. Investigators said they left or attempted to leave swastika-laden posters with messages like, "You've been visited by your local Nazis," at the homes of journalists in Florida, Arizona, and Washington State. I like a Nazi house call. Who doesn't? Parker DePepe pleaded guilty in September to conspiracy, to mail-threatening communications, and to commit cyber-stalking, which is the laziest type of stalking you can do. Assistant U.S. Attorney Thomas Woods acknowledged his troubled childhood but sought a prison term of 16 months, writing in the sentencing memo that Parker DePepe instilled terror in his victims and contributes to the wide sense of fear and unease that many groups in this country understandably feel. Parker DePepe attorney Peter Mazzone said prison would be devastating for his client, who suffered abuse from an unaccepting father, from an alcoholic stepfather, and from school bullies who tormented him. Parker DePepe, who goes by Tyler, had known since age 5 when he was growing up in Egg Harbor, New Jersey, that he wanted to be a boy and goose step. No, but his father threw away the boy clothes. That wasn't in the article. Where'd that come from? Shame on me.
Wait a minute. I don't remember that in the copy.
I don't know how that snuck in. But his father threw away the boy clothes his mother bought him and physically abused him, including choking him. His own wrote in a sentencing memo. In his early teens, his high school failed to protect him from incessant bullying and eventually paid $50,000 to settle a lawsuit he brought. He moved to Florida, where is where you want to go if you want a normal fucking life, to live with his mother and her husband, who one day came home drunk and beat him severely, breaking his front tooth and smashing his head against the driveway. Jesus Christ. Is nobody around to stop this? This led to him just to seek acceptance, and unfortunately he found it from these knuckleheads, Mazzone said. Because I've often said this, it's a misnomer that white supremacists are unaccepting. If you want to be accepted, always go to white supremacists.
That's yeah, and if you're going to call Nazis knuckleheads, I mean, the gang on Hogan's Heroes is knuckleheads.
Joe, these are just a bunch of scamps that lost their way.
Scamps. Like Bill Carter called him. Bill Carter, we're going to recruit this transvestite.
Link, you are a fool, but we will look at him. You know what I mean?
Here's the thing, though. I mean, you're saying that, you know, they welcomed him. They welcomed him as who they thought he was. They did not welcome him as a trans person. They didn't know that he was.
Well, Pip.
Oh, you don't want to hear that shit.
I welcomed you before I knew you were trans. I mean, it's just what people do. Anyway. Mazzone said, referring to the group of about 10 boys, mostly 15 and 16-year-olds, who made up the Florida Autumn Fluffin Cell. They had, by the way, they had the best varsity jackets. U.S. District Judge John C. Kuffenauer in Seattle agreed during a virtual court hearing Wednesday, sentencing Parker DePepe to time served after Parker DePepe, I like saying that now, tearfully apologized for his actions. Kuffenauer said he struggled with his decision because he was mindful of the fear and suffering such harassment can instill, but he added, none of us have suffered the difficult situation this defendant has endured as a result of his gender identity confusion. Enough's enough. So all you trans kids, if you want to be a Nazi, it's cool, because enough's enough. More than a dozen people linked to Adam Waffen, or an offshoot called Kurgan, coffee maker, I don't know what the fuck it is, have been charged with crimes in federal court since the group's formation in 2016. Autumn Waffen has been linked to several killings, including May 2017, shooting deaths of two men at an apartment in Tampa, and in January 28, 2018, killing of a University of Pennsylvania student in California. Parker DePepe was a low-level part of the conspiracy, which authorities have said was planned by Cameron Brandon Shea of Redmond, Washington, and Caleb J. Cole, who moved from Seattle, Texas, after Seattle police seized his guns in 2019 under an extreme risk protection order. That suggested he was planning a race war. Cole is due to face trial in September, and Shea is scheduled to plead guilty next week. And I'm going to say, if we're going to have a race war, I'm always picking the Ethiopians because those motherfuckers can run a marathon, so they're going to win my race war. Anyway, that's what they were talking about, I'm sure. Anyway, they recruited other Adam Waffen members, including the Florida cell, to participate in a coordinated campaign to threaten journals in retaliation for negative media coverage of the organization prosecutors. You know, I don't understand why the AP just won't warm up to the Nazis.
Pussies.
Parker DePepe was the only one in Florida with a car. And he and another, well, I mean, there was a driveway with his head mark on it. Why not? And he and another member drove to...
Is he an open mic comic?
He's getting Nazi gigs because he's got a reliable ride.
Hey, you want to want to make it, that's what you got
to
do.
I don't know. Parker DePepe's not much of a Nazi, but he's got a good car. He could do a tight five.
He's a city furor.
He's a city furor. He can do a tight five of Hiles. Let's go. Bring him along.
Yeah.
He and another member drove to St. Petersburg and affixed a poster to a home where they believed a news reporter lived. It was the wrong address, stupid. Instead, a black woman lived there with her father and her child. Ah, but fear was still instilled.
That's close enough for Jack.
Sure. The same day, Atom Waffen members sent or delivered posters to the homes of reporters or activists in Washington State and Arizona, including Chris Ingalls, a journalist of Seattle's King TV who reported on the group. Even though the FBI says Parker DePepe was a low-level player in this plot, he was part of a terrifying crime that my family and other victims live to with this day, Ingalls said in a text message Wednesday. I'm satisfied with the justice system's handling of this case, and I take Parker DePepe at his word that he is truly remorseful. Parker DePepe confessed his involvement in Atom Waffen to his mother soon after delivering the poster, afraid that the group would learn that he was a transgender. She persuaded him to tell Shay the truth. He did, was immediately kicked out of Atom Waffen and still fears retaliation. You can't admit to that shit! Be in the closet like the rest of us, you homo! Parker DePepe was the only...
Wow!
What? Well, come on! Like these incels are not closeted homosexuals marching in line with their liking little mustaches and neat uniforms. Please! They would love to get plowed from behind by a big black man and tell it to their Jewish therapist. They just don't realize it yet.
They're the modern sissies.
He should have explained it that way.
I wasn't asked.
Yeah!
No, you know, I'm here for consultations, transgender neo-Nazis. Parker DePepe was the only person from the Florida cell in charge in state or federal court. He spent about a month in custody before being released pending trial. While out, he has made great progress in therapy, obtained a job, and married a supportive woman, Mazzone said. The judge's decision does not incarcerate Parker DePepe. Comes amid growing of efforts to recognize transgender people, including advocates, celebration of Wednesday as International Transgender. All right, he's not a fucking picture of transgender. Let's fucking slow down. We don't need to give Parker DePepe a parade. All right. Let's see. The first member of the conspiracy to be sentenced was Johnny Roman Garza, 20, of Queen Creek, Arizona, who affixed one of the posters on the bedroom window of a Jewish journalist. The poster included the journalist's name and home address. Why would you do that? He knows where he fucking lives. Koffenauer sentenced Garza to 16 months, roughly half the time sought by prosecutors. All right. Here's the thing. This is not an easy thing, but here's my take on it. This judge is what I would call an activist judge. He is trying to remake the law into something he thinks it should be. Now, he does have sentencing leniency, but his reasoning is he's had a hard enough time. Listen, motherfucker, a lot of the people in prison have had a really hard time. I mean, a lot of the people that are doing hard time or committed atrocious things have been just as abused as this motherfucker right here. You know, they've had abusive parents. They've been down on their luck, and they still went to jail. Now, I'm not saying that this judge is wrong with how he thinks the law should be, but he is wrong in the way our law system currently works, and it's not his job to reinterpret it. That, God help us, is in charge of our elected leaders, which we just fucking spent the first 20 minutes ripping apart.
Right. He should have done sometime. I mean, because what he did was, you know, essentially an act of terror. It was an act of terror.
You're right.
You know, so saying that, well, he had a rough time, and we should forgive him for an act of terror, it doesn't make any sense. And I'm sorry, you don't use that. You need to be accountable for yourself. Look, my father patted me on the head, drove down a mile down the road, blew his head off, and killed my dog. Okay? I'm not stealing. I'm not robbing. Okay? I'm not using that as an excuse to do stuff. You, even though life might have cut you a bad break, you don't use that to commit an act of terror.
Well, like I said, perhaps our legal system could be more compassionate. But it's not this judge's job to make it so where he serves nothing. He could say, to Joe's point, you know what, I'm not going to sentence you fully because I think you've had a really rough extenuating circumstances. So I'm going to reduce it. That being said, you have to do something because we do have to set an example. You know.
Right. You do have to realize that what you did was an act of terror. I understand that you went through a lot. However, I'm going to sentence you to 3 months or what, you know, whatever the case may be, to just show you that, yeah, you cannot do these acts of anti-Semitism in this country part of a Nazi organization. Look, if he robbed the store, if he was in a convenience store and he robbed the store of $50, that's a crime, but it's not an act of terror through a Nazi-affiliated party. You know, I mean, what he did was part of a Nazi-affiliated party. And, you know, you went through a rough time. That's still no excuse to do what you did. And you still need to pay a price for that. Not hard time, but maybe 6 months, whatever, you know, whatever, parole. But you need to realize that what you did was an act of terror.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think the transgender community is holding the, Parker DePepe up as a hero. Yeah, I mean, if you black transgender women are murdered all the time. That is a real fucking thing. So I mean, if we're gonna work to help be more understanding of transgender, how about we work to fucking protect them? Because
so they're saying, well, you know what we've gone through, and the hatred and the abuse that we've taken, and the Jews haven't by the Nazis. No, he did this free of his will. And an act of hatred. Like I said, if it was a store and it was $50, yeah, you know, all right, let's give him a chance. But what he did was an act of hatred. And if you're part of a group that is coming down that it was hatred and abuse, it's hypocritical for them to let him walk on somebody that did an act of hatred and abuse. And it's kind of defeats the purpose of this other group defending him and holding him up as a hero on that. It defeats the purpose.
You know what's interesting? Well, Parker DePepe's attorney argued jail would be devastating for him. Yeah, fucking jail is devastating for most people. What's that? You know, it's not Club Med. It's a terrible place.
That jail wasn't devastating to his Otis from the Andy Griffith. After that, pretty fucking devastating.
Yeah, I mean, what is the jail would be devastating for him? Yeah, it's a fucking awful place. It's used as a deterrent not to fucking leave Nazi posters.
And you know what? You know why jail is a devastating place? But you stay the fuck out of it. Just make a law.
Yeah, you don't go pick on another abused group.
Yes.
Because you were abused. What the hell are you thinking?
Now, I will say this. I do feel, in this situation, the Nazis were rude. Hear me out. The Nazis
were rude.
Yeah, I mean, you've been... hear me out. I think you'll agree. So the Nazis, they're paying house calls now, as Nazis are wont to do. And they're leaving, but you've been visited by your neighborhood Nazis. First of all, you're popping by unannounced. You're not going to leave a strudel or something? What type of bullshit is this?
They were terribly rude. They came without calling first. Nobody does that in this day and age.
No.
I agree.
You can't shoot a text?
And you're not home and you look at your ring camera. Who's stepping up our porch?
That's not the pizza guy.
Does Domino's goose step when they deliver now?
Oh my God!
I'm gonna call them. They didn't leave a poster. They left an angry Nazi poster. They didn't leave a pizza. This is some bullshit.
Yeah, look at the van behind them. That logo on the van. I don't recognize that pizza company.
Hey, when did the Noi join the Luftwaffe? I missed that commercial.
Wait a minute. That's not Amazon Prime. What the fuck?
Good God. All right, so we all agree. The judge, we do not agree with the judge's decision here.
Some jail time should have been given.
Yeah.
Just because you're trans, kid, doesn't mean you can be a Nazi. Them's the rules.
That is
all right.
Correct, or you have to be accountable.
All right. So a judge in New Jersey has ruled that a friend with benefits has the same rights inside their partner's home as a boyfriend or a girlfriend to not be searched without a warrant. Judge Susan D. Wigginton made her ruling on May 13th in the case of a man charged with dealing heroin and weapons charges who was arrested at the home of his friends with benefits who had only slept with once before. Lawyers for Najee Brantley, 28, had questioned the legality of his July 18th arrest when a Gucci fanny pack, homo, containing 109 vials of heroin and semi-automatic handguns were seized. Patterson police had a warrant for Brantley's arrest, but not a warrant to search his home. In this case, his home extends to his friends with benefits. Wherever I drop my balls and drop my load is where I lay my head, and that's my home. Prosecution.
Drop my crack.
You sure? Suck a dick and give me some constitutional rights. Anyway, prosecutors had argued that because Brantley was at the home of a friend with benefits, Bajane Reels, he was not entitled to Fourth Amendment protections, which guard against searches of personal goods inside a person's home without a warrant. But Widginton ruled that Brantley's lawyers did indeed have grounds to challenge the seizure if the warrant was not broad enough. This court accepts that the defendant was more than a short-term guest at Ms. Reels' apartment and thus had standing to challenge any subsequent warrantless search of his belongings. Because they had that 20 minutes of passion, and I'm being generous. To the extent that the government suggests that the defendant's friends with benefits relationship categorically fails to merit protection of an overnight guest, this court disagrees. Brantley and Reels were both arrested on July 26, 2018. He was charged with narcotics and firearms offenses and carrying a fanny pack, for which he had several outstanding warrants. He had previously been arrested for selling heroin near a school in 2015 and felony conviction. So a good dude. She was arrested on hindering apprehension charges and faking an orgasm. Both Brantley and Reels...
Hey, I didn't read that in the story.
It's in the story. I wouldn't lie. Both Brantley and Reels told investigators that their relationship was casual. It's merely for legal protections. He said it was the second time he had stayed over and first time he came, and she was not his girlfriend, just a little bitch he met at the corner. She said, according to court transcripts obtained by the DailyMail.com, me and him haven't been talking, and he hit me up saying that he needed somewhere to stay, and by somewhere to stay, he meant my vagina. And me being the person that I am, a whore.
I didn't read that.
It's there. It's there. I don't know what you got bad copy, Joe. I don't know what to tell you. And me being the person that I am, a whore, I told him to come on in and make yourself cozy in my vagine. Reels is in a district of Patterson, being long troubled by drug dealing and gag violence, or as we like to call it, Patterson.
I was just going to say, isn't that all of Patterson?
In November 2017, the New Jersey Attorney General's office had said that the intersection of Rosa Parks Boulevard and Putnam Street, four blocks from her home, was one of four where the Corner Boys, or 4K Bloods, ran a major heroin operation. Two girls aged 12 and 14 died after they were caught in gangland crossfire that summer and fall. At the time, authorities announced almost 50 arrests and seizures of about 90,000 in drugs, 20,000 in cash, and three guns, NorthJersey.com reported. When police arrived at the Reels apartment at about 10 a.m., 10 to 15 minutes after they received an anonymous tip-off that Brantley was there, she opened the door to the officers that went into the bedroom. Brantley was later found hiding under the bed where you always look if you don't have a turtle pool, wearing just his boxer shorts. Police handcuffed him and asked if he had clothes to put on. Nah, I showed up buck naked, motherfucker. When he gestured to his black sweatpants and t-shirt in a corner, an officer lifted them up and said, "Is that fanny pack yours, really, pussy?" Anyway, the fanny pack contained the drugs and the gun. Brantley's been in jail ever since. His trial was set for April 20th. It was delayed by the pandemic. Here's the problem with this. It seems like you can conclude that because you make that booty call, like, you can, like, bring all your nefarious drugs and guns and shit and keep it there. Because according to this judge, you get the same protections because you hit that shit. This seems like such a flawed ruling by this judge. Like this judge does not understand the difference between a relationship, somebody living with you, and somebody hitting that shit. I guarantee you, if the fuzz was not on this guy's tail and interrupted, he wasn't staying the night. He was hitting it and quitting it. He wasn't fucking he wasn't sticking around for scrambled eggs and waffles, boys and girls. He had other shit. He's got all those drugs and guns on him. He's a businessman. This was his fucking lunch hour. He was working at night. She was his lunch hour. She was his, like, fucking calzone and orange juice. He hit that shit, and then the cops came like a boss saying, "You're late, back to the desk." That's what the fuck happened.
It is ridiculous to set a standard like that, that if you were a friend with benefits, now you get that kind of legal protection. I mean, what if you're carrying in my house, quick grab my punani and you're covered by the law?
Well,
what?
Pip, Pep, that's why whenever we're together, I always grab your punani, because I always have things on me that I should not have, and I want to take I want to take shelter underneath your tits. So I grab the punani, and the, your tits is my safe space, and because now I live there. Now I live there.
Well, it gets kind of tricky, because basically the story says he had a warrant for him, but not a search warrant, and they couldn't do it in the home. So I guess when they found the fanny pack, even though the cops opened up the fanny pack, and found that stuff, they didn't have a warrant for it, and I don't think it was open and spilled out. Maybe if it was open and spilled out, they were like, well, we found him and the stuff.
Anyway. Well, it's the gray area, because they could search him, but the stuff was not on him. It was around him. But still, the reason the judge gives, the judge is putting a lot of emphasis on sex here. Now, are we going to define sex as intercourse, a hand job, hooking up, right, a tap on, a slap on? What, I mean, do both people have to come? Does one person have to come? This judge is putting a lot. Let me tell you something. I've slept with a lot of people one time, and none of them had any illusions of fucking calling my apartment their safe space.
It was their unsafe space.
It most certainly was.
But even that, it's just the whole thing of search and seizure on there, you know, where it comes into play. I mean, they're doing the emphasis on the whole sex thing, but yeah, he was at the house, the girlfriend's house, well, the acquaintance's house, and they didn't have a warrant, and then they found that, so they went in there and he opened up the bag. He opened up the bag. It wasn't just in plain sight. Then, you know, that's a problem with search and seizure.
Listen, this is
how illogical the law can be sometimes. I mean, we have laws that say that if somebody is carrying drugs in the car, then everybody's carrying drugs in the car unless that person owns up to it and says it's just theirs. But now we have this, but if I get to the house where I one time had sex with somebody, home free all, you know, what?
Yeah, it's like, I hear Joe's argument, and it might be correct legally, but the judge's opinion doesn't go with that. The judge's opinion is putting it all on, like, he lives there because he hit that once, and they didn't have a search, they didn't have a warrant for where he lives, but he doesn't live there. It's not, so if we have sex in the car, does that mean, like, you, I mean, now it's true in the car, you do have to seek...
In the car, it would be like, it would go on to probable cause. I think probable cause would override that.
It's just, you know, the cops are at the door. Quick, let's start banging.
You know what? If I'm ever single again, that will be my move. I'm not going to waste time. I'm not going to waste, because my move, as everybody knows who's listened to the show for years, was the massage. But I like Pip a lot less strenuous. The cops are in the car. Quick, let's start. Cops are at the door. Let's start banging. Much more to the point. Good thinking, Pip.
Thank you. I mean, I figure that covers everybody's problem.
Sure. Quick, everybody on my dick. The cops are outside.
And to your point, what degree of sexual activity makes it your friends with benefits? I mean, just grab the dick? It has to be inside someplace? What? What constitutes actual home free all?
Well, see, I consider Joe a friend of mine with benefits because he does the clips, and that's a benefit, and he's a friend. So technically, I can keep my drug and weapon stash at Joe's house because he's a friend with benefits.
Well, I thought you already did.
I do.
If the cops come in looking for you and you have your stuff, you're in my house, and they don't have a search warrant in my house, and if they find that stuff, they don't have a warrant for it. They can haul you away, but they don't have a warrant for that stuff. If they opened it up, you know, it's in my house and it's a search warrant.
So do you agree, Joe, or not? You agree with the judge?
I agree. I agree of a technicality of law. Yeah.
All right. Let's move on to some School of Fools kids. And my legal advice to all you kids listening to this show: fuck everybody you can, so you can put more of your ill-gotten illegal shit in as many places as possible.
School of Fool.
All right, we have two stories for you. The first is about remote learning and your prom. For many students, prom is a pivotal high school memory. It's the first time you were ever roofied. But for Isabella Killoff, plans to celebrate a final time among her friends were not permitted. A senior at Burns High School in Lawndale, North Carolina, Killoff was not allowed to attend the prom on May 1st because she is a remote learner. I was very discouraged because after a crazy school year, I just wanted to blow a guy on some cheap, on some spiked punch. And they took this memory from me.
The rite of passage.
Sponsored by Rape Van.
Sponsored by Rape Van. He pulled up in the Rape Van. I knew it was prom night. I was very discouraged because after a crazy school year, it was something to look forward to, Killoff said. When you realize you can't participate in a normal thing, it's really sad. Emails were sent to students saying remote learners would be excluded from extracurricular activities, yet none used the word prom. Still, Greg Scholl, director of communications for the Cleveland County School District, said the school has been transparent all along. That communication was well on the front side of the school year, Scholl said. They decided if you are a remote learner and you want to be in any extracurricular activities, you have to be on campus. The same conflict has been echoed in school districts across the country, where remote learners have been excluded from proms as part of policies restricting extracurricular activities to only in-person students. In some Connecticut and Texas high schools, parents and students have complained about similar policies, taking away yet another milestone for high school students whose school years have been marred by the effects of the coronavirus pandemic. In Omaha, Nebraska, a GoFundMe was set up to fund a socially distanced prom for remote learners after their high school restricted its prom to only in-person students. They attend school just like in-person students, according to the GoFundMe page. Therefore, they shouldn't be punished for learning online. And donate to this instead of your neighbor that has cancer, I say. One Iowa school district backtracked its decision not to allow virtual students to attend prom after parents voiced concerns, as parents do. Killoff's mom, Jane Lamb, said she met with Rodney Borders, executive director of administrative services, to discuss the issue, pointing out the term prom was omitted from what they deemed to be school activities outside the classroom. When we went to the school district's office, I mentioned nothing documentation was wise to find after school activities. Lamb said, it was never in black and white. I don't consider prom an after school activity. But Scholl said in an email that prom is, in fact, considered an extracurricular activity. This term is frequently used within the school community and refers to all active surrounding a school that is in addition to the normal course of study. Scholl said prom space was limited because the event center had coronavirus protocols in place. When plans are made for anything, especially for an event, we had to find facilities for the number of people people matter and how you do things, Scholl said. Still, Killoff and Lamb said school officials at Burns High excluded remote learners and offered the prom as an incentive for students who chose in-person learning. I think it was wrong for them to exclude online students, said Killoff. Even in the email they sent out, the tone they used embarrassed online students. They specifically said online students weren't allowed to go, even if they were invited. Killoff and her boyfriend Tyler Elwine responded by creating their own prom. They ate Italian food before joining several friends on a yacht. So this is this was Joe's blog this week. So we will let Joe have first crack at it.
Yes, what they did was it was stupid. It's another case of an educational facility using absolutely no common sense at all. Don't they realize that these kids that have been isolated, they're lonely, they're missing out on the interaction that these kids have in high school, and that a prom is a very big deal. Especially watching the kids of 2020 not being able to have it. They also make the claim that a communication was well in front of the new year. Don't they realize how much has changed from September to now? June, the vaccine wasn't available in September. There was no clue. The vaccine started to come in the forefront during the beginning of the year. People are getting the vaccines and getting better. What they could have done was they could have found a facility to go that would get enough of the kids in there. The kids could have gotten the vaccine or wore a mask. It's a very important thing. And, you know, it seems like a lot of fuss and bother. However, a prom is a lot of fuss and bother. It is getting the dress, getting all this, but it is a rite of passage for kids and for the school to segregate, literally segregate, who's going and who is not is absolutely wrong, stupid, and a total lack of common sense.
I agree. Very well said, Mr. Curry. Very.
Isolate that.
No, you nailed it. They're trying to punish the people who remote learn. First of all, a lot of the kids who remote learn, their parents made the decision. And what are you really getting? As Joe says, like, they couldn't fathom the fact that there was a vaccine. Didn't you listen to Donald Trump? Donald Trump told you there was a vaccine coming. Why didn't you listen to the nice man? He told you there was a vaccine coming. He was right.
Coming into the, and you know what? Leaving Trump out of the equation. Coming into the new year with the vaccinations coming, you know, being available. I mean, look, if the vaccinations weren't available and we're almost in the same position we were this time last year, there would have to be a debate about it. Maybe,
maybe
they could do a Zoom thing for the kids that are online or the other kids, you know, because it's kind of a herd thing. They could do that. But since the vaccines arrived, people, you know, the CDC, especially this, the CDC has come out and said that if you had the vaccine anywhere, you could take the mask off. Have the protocols for people who have the vaccine not to wear a mask, or everybody's got to wear a mask, but have the prompt. It's a very important rite of passage for these kids, especially the girl. The guys, you know, but for a teenage girl, it's a major league thing. And to take that away, especially when there's protocols that are in place, is stupid.
Well, then we'll move on because I think Pip concurs. But remember, last week we had the discussion of the school board candidates, and I mentioned some that was worried about, like, her big thing was the budget. Remember I said? By the way, she lost roundly. This again goes to why I want people in positions of power advocating for the most children possible, and the rest of us will pick it apart if there's issues to be. That, you know, you really needed somebody on the school board, I can't believe I'm saying this, with Joe's mindset, to think about the kids, all of the kids. And then
not my mindset, common sense. Somebody with the thoughts of mine or not. Somebody that looks at something with a common sense thing. This is not being looked at through a common sense eye.
Well, you know, Joe, I think what it is, I think people in positions of power, they have to justify why they're there, which is why we get Dr. Seuss, Mr. Potato Head, decisions like this. They have to look like they're doing something, as opposed to just doing what anybody would say, as Joe would say, common sense. They have to look like they're deep thinkers, and they're thinking about things that the average citizen doesn't have time to comprehend, when really, common sense probably would have won the day here.
And a lot of times, with that being said, a lot of times in places of academia, you will see situations like that for the very reasons you brought up.
All right. So we all agree, terrible job.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on to don't do this, kids. Don't do this at your school. Unfortunately, African-American students were unsuspecting parts of a game where their white classmates were auctioning them off. Not good. I will bring that story to you, and then we can discuss.
One of the young men who was targeted in the slave trade, Snapjack group.
Chris Johnson is a ninth grader in the town of Aledo, Texas, west of Fort Worth. He and a fellow black classmate were the targets of racist social media posts that brought him to this moment speaking to the town's school board.
It was not a game. I have lived here my whole life and know most of the kids and parents here.
In March, a group of students at Aledo's ninth grade campus started a slave auction of classmates in a private Snapchat group. A screen grab of the auction became public. Under the racist titles for the group chat, one bid $100 on one student and another offered $1 on Chris. Would be better if his hair wasn't so bad. At first, the Aledo School District described the chat as cyberbullying with racially charged language, which angered many residents who wondered why it wasn't immediately called out as racist.
We have to get comfortable with having uncomfortable conversations.
The school district ultimately called it racism and said the students were disciplined, but for privacy reasons won't detail the punishments.
The only apology I'm accepted is change behavior. When will you make the changes needed to ensure all of us feel treated fairly and safe?
It is dehumanization.
Eddie Burnett is the president of the local NAACP chapter and says this moment needs to be a wake-up call for this small town.
I'm not saying that they are teaching racism here, but there's obviously an environment where that flourishes.
A few weeks after the Snapchat auction, this flyer announcing a great sale of slaves appeared at a couple of Aledo campuses. The school district said police are reviewing security footage to see who distributed the flyers.
That's disgusting. That's absolutely disgusting.
There are about 7,000 students in the Aledo school district, and that student population is about 78% white. Some residents have told us there's a history here of avoiding difficult conversations about racial issues, and that's why they're worried these moments will be swept under the rug. We've heard from a number of people who have told us, look, CNN coming into Aledo to tell this story, that we're just causing more problems than we're solving here. What's your reaction to that?
No, you're revealing more problems, and that's a problem for the people who've told you that. I think, again, that the one chance we have to correct this situation is to shine sunlight on it.
It's time to fix stupid and not let this happen anymore.
This is also prompting other residents to share their experiences.
What started off as a friendly game of cops and robbers quickly turned south when several kids tackled my 8-year-old to the ground. As he lay with his face pressed into the cement, he pleaded with them to get off of him. He told them he couldn't breathe. He laid there hopeless, hoping somebody would step in. As he struggled to break free, one of the children said, "Hey, put your knee on his neck."
These moments reveal how a racial divide can exist beneath the surface of a small town like countless others in America.
If you think that this has affected you and your job, just imagine how this is actually, how we actually feel.
Chris Johnson is a young man urging his hometown not to look away, no matter how painful this moment might feel. Ed Lavandera, CNN, Aledo, Texas.
So it's quite the story. I think this reveals more about the community than it does the school. Because these kids, I understand they're watching a lot of stuff on TV and everything, but somewhere they're learning that this type of behavior to their peers is acceptable. I don't think this is a school thing. This is something, and you're hearing from other members of the community. So when I look at this, I go, why does the school have to be the one? I guess they're the only ones with jurisdiction, but it doesn't sound like this was a school activity. It doesn't sound like it was necessarily going on school grounds or even using school software. It sounds like it was using social media. So why does the school have to be the one to fucking try to teach these kids a lesson? Where the hell are the parents? Or how shitty are some of these parents? And it's really eye-opening about some of the issues we might have. Like, I was unaware about how much racial strife there was in this town that I live, which is predominantly white, until the past few years. Somewhere, we as Americans have not learned our lesson and certainly do not take the teachings of Judeo-Christianity, which we like to pride ourselves on, that we're such a Judeo-Christian country. And we certainly do not take the teachings of Jesus Christ and the Second Amendment, the New Testament. I mean, what is fucking wrong with us? I can't imagine, as a high school kid, coming up with such a fucked game. I could imagine if we were doing it with girls, to be honest, because, you know, high school boys are pig. Yeah, how much for her? Yeah, $20 for her. She's got a great rat. But I can't imagine it being, like, done based on race. And we were less woke way back then.
Well, here's the deal. I believe it's up to the school. Look, we've had a lot of discussions on the show about race, critical race theory, this, that, and the other. We were going back and forth. This is absolutely reprehensible. Absolutely reprehensible. And, well, why should the school get involved? Because, especially now, especially with this, this is a major teaching point. Bring these kids in for sensitivity training. Spend the whole school day bringing this up, showing Black history. How have they been treated? Where is this is going? And show the indignity of this. And use it as a teaching point with the other indignities. It's a perfect example to really show how this is reprehensible in this day or any day and age. You do this, This is wrong, and it's a teaching point.
Well, Joe, you've made
any parent that would be against that.
You've made the case for the 619 project, which a lot of Trumpsters and Republicans do not want anything to do with. But I agree with you. I don't think you have to take the whole curriculum, but there are certainly aspects of it.
Like I said, because and we can have a debate about critical race theory, you know, but you can't look at this and whatever side of your position is and go, well, you know, no, there's no well, you know, in this. There's no well, you know. This is reprehensible, and it's a teaching point, and you get to the bottom of it, and these kids get sensitivity training, and you spend the whole damn school day showing the indignity of this and making sure it doesn't happen again, and these kids know how indignant it is.
Yeah, but Joe, I would counter that and going, you know what? You say you teach a day or half a marking period, a quarter marking period, or 2 weeks, whatever, with this stuff. If the kids are going home to racists, there's still a good chance they're going to be racist. People are not born racist. They learn it somewhere.
I disagree, and I'll tell you why. Because basically, my parents from the generation, the old school stuff, they were racist. They had race things, but it took through schooling to realize the indignity of it. And to show that you're based on the content of your character, not the color of your skin. That's why sometimes I get so mad at the Black Lives Matter thing is that I'm very open-minded, and to be told that I'm not, and this, that, you know, it really pisses me off because I'm not. But with that being said, that was, you learned about the indignity in school, where, you know, my generation learned that our parents were wrong in a lot of their thinking. With this is reprehensible, and it is a teaching point to correct this and to show and spend a whole full day on how wrong this is.
I'm thinking about what Joe's saying, and I mean, yeah, I think that the racism is coming from the home, but there is value in working on that in the schools.
Well, hold on. Let me cut you off. I'm not saying the school doesn't have a role to play. That wasn't my argument. What I'm saying is, why does the school have to be the one to punish them? Because it says the students were punished, but they're not revealing for privacy reasons. That was my argument. Not that they can't be taught and have it in the curriculum or whatever. I'm saying, why does it have to come down to the school to essentially parent? That was my point. Go on, Pip.
Oh, yeah, no, I mean, but that comes down to a lot of different issues that the school has got quite a burden. The teachers have quite a burden on them to essentially parent children these days, because there are a lot of people not parenting their children and not teaching them what society says is the right thing, the right way of thinking. I mean, but there's a reason why it's valuable anyway for the schools to be, trying to teach the right way to kids. I mean, I in a different way. Think about how many times little kids will say, put on your seatbelt, because they've learned it in school. And the parents are like, grumble, grumble, but they'll put on their seatbelt. And this is little kids. And I understand that, they're pretty malleable at that age, and that, you know, they can also be taught not to be racists at that age too. So it's when they're doing this, I think that Joe's point that it's a teaching moment right now. I'll ask you, Davin, who else? The parents aren't doing it, so who else is supposed to be responsible? It wasn't necessarily a crime, but it is a crime against humanity, against compassion, against decency. So, you try to find whatever method you can do in your community to stamp that out.
Well, what I would say is, this could be a civil liberties issue. This could be a federal crime. And if the parents aren't going to do it, maybe law enforcement has to do it. Because, again, like you said, and I believe, the teachers have too much on them. So, you know what? Maybe scare those fucking parents straight.
You know what, though? You're missing the point of the teaching moment. Look, we've had our arguments on my feelings about the BLM movement, okay?
You're more of a BLT type of guy.
Say what?
You're more of a BLT type of guy.
Right, yeah. But, yeah, I think, but let me tell you something. On in this situation, Black Lives Matter.
No, no, Joe, I'm not, Joe, I'm not, you're misunderstanding. I'm not saying the school can't teach. I'm saying I don't think the school should have to be punishing them. Where the hell are the parents? Where the hell, and if the parents won't do it, then you threaten.
Sometimes, because, like I was saying before, the bigotry that you would hear sometimes, like I said, my parents' generation, you know, there was bigotry in there. And it took school and understanding and stuff like that to realize, you know, my parents aren't that right about a lot of stuff. And I'm giving, you know, and I deal with people with the content of their character, not the color of their skin, like Dr. King said. So, and that was learned through school, regardless what you're at home. And something like this is the school is part of the community, all right? And this reflects something that is going on in the community. What are the cops going to do? Are they going to go in? They're going to say, well, this is a civil rights issue, and it's done. Having the school step in is showing a major teaching moment, and especially anything in Black Lives Matter, with any issue that you come up, and you know where I've been on a lot of the people that are holding as martyrs, this is a teaching moment. This is reprehensible. This is setting back race relations, and it's got to be brought up. It's got to be reviewed, and it's got to be understood that something like this should never ever happen again, and it should have never happened in the first place.
That, and perhaps if Chris would have used relaxer, maybe he would have gone for more than a dollar. All right, let's do some drunks in the news. What? No, no, that's not the takeaway. That's not the more you know moment with the rainbow. All right, I screwed up. All right, sorry.
Poor Chris has to tighten up his fade, but other than that, that's yeah. I mean, not the,
listen,
the
Chris, this was horrible, but not for nothing. They got a point about your hair.
God.
Chris, this
is terrible people.
Chris, this isn't a black thing. This is a your hair thing.
That's your guy.
I'm a woke motherfucker. All right, let's do some drunks in the news.
Welcome to Drunks in the News.
All right, our Benjamin Franklin drinking term, as you guys know, when we do Drunks in the News, we like to use a synonym that Benjamin Franklin came up with for being wasted, and this one has one I believe that is close to his heart. Been to France. I feel, yeah, because that's where he...
What?
Been to France. When you're drunk, you've been to France. And as we know, Benjamin Franklin had a lot of fun in France. So.
Oh, he got in a rickety ship. He went through 3,000 miles of ocean to screw French boys and drink wine. He knows his shit on this one.
Yeah.
Oh, he's been to France, all right. He's been to France and back.
This is a very Benjamin Franklin one. I like this one.
Liberty Schmiberty. I'm heading out on that fucking ship and heading out to Paris.
I want to show you my Eiffel Tower.
Yeah, I'm a founding father. This dick ain't going to blow itself, damn it. I believe it was Benjamin Franklin who said, let them suck dick. I believe that was Benjamin Franklin. I might be mistaken.
Wait a minute. Is that part of the Bill of Rights?
It might be. I'm wrong. Let them suck syphilitic. What's the word?
Syphilitic.
Let them suck syphilitic dick. I believe that's. I believe if you look on the back of a nickel, it is inscribed there. You have to look closely.
Oh, God, that'd be such a great name of a punk rock band.
Syphilitic dick.
It's there. It's in Latin.
Yeah. Well, you know, he was a learned man, our Ben Franklin. All right. Making friends can often be difficult, but it's definitely been much harder during the pandemic. One couple in Florida who just moved to a new neighborhood, however, had to employ a unique method to meet their new neighbors. Amanda and Thomas Evans moved from Fort Myers, Florida, to Cape Coral, Florida, several weeks before the pandemic hit last year. The couple quickly found themselves in a situation where meeting their neighbors was made almost impossible. Amanda told the news outlet it was definitely hard to meet neighbors. Luckily, we have a rescue dog that we walk around the block every day, so we met some people in passing. Typically, you would bring people cookies or pie or invite them over for some syphilitic dick, but we weren't sure about how people were feeling. Unable to invite neighbors over for dinner or other similar events, the couple came up with a unique idea. They posted flyers around the neighborhood that said, "Hi, we're new to the neighborhood and we would like to meet our lovely neighbors." No, not the creepy guy. We will be in our driveway with drinks, ready to meet any neighbors who would like to stop by. We can't wait to meet you. The couple also reportedly put a sign in their driveway to attract people. It's always funny to see a sign on the table that says free beer just to get people to stop and turn their head and drive by and say, "What did that sign just say?" Anthony told the news outlet, "We had a few people do a double take. Free beer is a pretty easy way to get people to show up." Apparently, the couple has plenty of new friends in their home now. Here's the thing. It sounds good on paper. But I also think it reads a little desperate. What's wrong with these people that they need to give away free booze in their fucking driveway to get people to hang out with them?
Yeah, maybe they're not that. Look, I moved into my, like when I lived in my old neighborhood, I lived there forever. I wasn't that friendly. I moved here and I'm like, all right, I can't be the asshole I was back in Huntington, you know? That being said, my neighbors, they're great. I love my neighbors. They're great people. And the funny thing about first impressions is I came home one night, I was dog tired, and I was unloading the car, and my garage door's open, my car doors are open, and I sat in the couch, I just wanted to sit I fell asleep. So my neighbor, who I never met before, knocked on my door, goes, "Excuse me, you know, I just want to let you know your garage door's open and your car doors are open and stuff." I go, thank you very much. So he walked away, and I go, "Should I introduce myself?" And I go, "You know what? I will when I look like less of an asshole."
So you guys haven't been you haven't been formally introduced yet. All right, you'll get there.
Yeah, no.
I think,
you know, I wanted to thank you, but I'm like, you know, thank you very much. And I go, you know, I look like too much of an asshole at this juncture. I'll meet him like when he's taking his pails out or something.
I'll meet you by the recyclables.
Right.
I think it's a really nice idea, and I think that it would bring a lot of people. But this sign didn't work as well.
Free dick. Well, Pip.
that didn't work as well.
Well, you know, when they're covered up by the sheltering tits, people are a little less trusting. What do you want me to tell you? No, I mean,
it's unusual to have both, but I like to advertise.
Well, you're a transgender neo-Nazi. The question is, will I do this in my new neighborhood? Maybe I should. But I probably won't because I'm not that interested. But it would be a good experiment.
I think that the missus might do this, but you?
Yeah. Listen, I mean, I was...
No, you're not doing this.
You're not doing this.
You don't like people, you're antisocial, and you don't like small talk. And I know that because I know you, and I don't like it either. So you're not going to do
but
it.
But yet...
This is Mike, but you ain't.
But yet, during the show, my neighbors invited me and the missus over for a little fire pit and booze. So I can be perfectly charming. Perfectly. It takes me a while.
What neighbor is this? Is this the cop?
Yeah, it's the cop.
Well, you've known him. Well, how long has he been there? A year, a year and a half?
A couple years, yeah.
You didn't just meet him.
You know what I'm like? I'm like a rescue. I'm like a rescue dog. Just give me a while to warm up to you. It'll be fine.
Right. No, you know, the guy's a nice guy. You chatted. He helped. You know, yeah, we'll have a little thing. I'll be over. Sure. But it's not like you just met the guy. It's like, well, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if I'll be doing the freer beer. Maybe I'll do the free beer if I want to meet everybody in the community well. That might be, all right, who's taking the long showers in this bitch? Why can't I take a shower?
I've noticed something about my neighbors. Like I said, my neighbors are great, but we all like our space. We all like our private, so we'll chat in the street or whatever. But that's the extent of it, you know. Everybody just minds their own business and everything, you know. Matter of fact, I had people outside because I don't want people really knowing that I'm feeding the deer. And I have one of my deer button looking at me on Saturday in the wood, and I'm like, "There are people barbecuing. I don't want you to see them. Stop giving me that sad face. I can't speak to you right now." I go to their barbecue and ham it up with them. Maybe get a burger or something. You got to wait till tomorrow morning.
Look at you.
Kidding me? They'll become the thing on the grill.
Look at Joe.
I think that's what she said to me. What are you kidding, stupid? I might be the main meal. All right, fuck it. I'll eat leaves for a night.
I'll tell you one thing. You've certainly changed over the years. I remember when your dirty little secret was Joe's girl. Now it's Joe's deer. You are certainly morphing.
God. He's always hiding something.
The man,
that's why he barbecues like Aunt Frank.
The man had a woman on the down low. Now on the down low is Bambi and a hibachi. He's definitely fucking changed.
Oh, funny. I tell the deer all the time. I go, listen to me, because they're all eating out there. I'm like, all right, listen to me. Anybody, we're all Italian. We don't know nothing. I put the food out for the birds. You showed up. Nobody says nothing, all right?
We're all Italian.
We're all Italian. He's leaving. He's
we don't talk about this thing of ours.
drop the seed. Drop the seed. Take the cannoli. We're all Italian deer over here. All right. Let's take our final break, and then we will come back with some scamming scammers. We'll see if fake Davin has made it work with Caroline a little bit longer, or if fake Davin has a new love for you guys on the edge of your seats. But on the break, we got new music from Alan James with Our Dreams and Claudia Pup with Flashbacks. And you can learn more about both those artists at deucemusic.com.